Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story, an especially interesting essay, or some philosophical quotes or thoughts, or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. And given the fact that we're looking outside, and yeah, I think that we might have turned our corner on Injun summer. We had a nice day yesterday, very warm last couple nights, but a little rainy. And certainly a little cooler, but nonetheless still autumn, and autumn's a special time of year. So I thought I'd read a little essay taken from the Chicago Tribune's editorial page, and it's entitled, Why We Love Fall, the Richest Season of Them All. There's a quote from Hal Borland. He says, summer ends and autumn comes, and he who would have it otherwise would have high tide always and a full moon every night. Well, this is the richest season of them all. Fall, the season, the only season that does not grow tired, blowing its smoky breath through the cracks in our bedroom windows, bundling itself high and tight against our screen doors in chattering rustles of yellows and reds as crisp as potato chips. Fall is here. This is a season to bloviate about, a season so poignant that when those reds and yellows turn wet and damp, oh, that smell. Even death appreciates fall. There are some, however, who want you to feel bad about fall's invigorating chill. People who prefer sweating like swine in August. They forget fall is so rich, we call it autumn. A word with more gravitas than Tom Brokaw. They forget fall is so deep, I can quote from an obscure outdoors writer, and more people will take exception with that description. Obscure, Hal Borland, than with the pretense of quoting obscure outdoor writers. And though fall encourages thought, it is also level ground. It is frayed sweaters we can't toss in the approach of the holidays, always so much better than the thing itself. And that's okay, too. Fall is there to teach resolve. Summer may be fleeting, but fall reminds you of its imminent demise with every front porch pumpkin gnawed away by a thief in squirrel's clothing. Fall reinforces your mettle for the cruelty of winter. It is not naive like summer or tentative like spring, but even-minded. It is no coincidence Los Angelinos, an aspirational thin-skinned bunch, long for fall, but never winter. Fall is promise and decline all at once, without the sharp bite. But fall rewards the inevitability of failure and melancholy to come. It's too emphatic to know otherwise. From Christopher Borelli. It's a nice little essay. Fall is promise and decline all at once, without the sharp bite. Isn't that true? What else is fall? Well, here's some ideas. Fall is bonfires, and finally getting to wear that cute, cool weather jacket you bought on clearance back in May. Fall is butternut squash, everything. Fall is switching back to a hot coffee drink in the morning. Pumpkin spice latte? Maybe. Fall is bike rides in the forest preserves, or picking up freshly fallen golden and auburn leaves to lay across the dining room table. Fall is heading to the Chicago Botanic Garden in Glencoe to take in Mother Nature's colorful change. Fall is feeling cozy again. It's one of my favorites. Fall is French restaurants will be putting cassoulet on the menu again. Cassoulet is just great. I think we had a couple of press releases about the cassoulet at some of the local French restaurants. Cassoulet and bouillabaisse. It's the time of year for that. Fall is hearing the brass and boom of high school and college marching bands performing. fall is baking bread, or real running weather at last, or kids back on normal schedules, or farmer markets that are finally bursting with fall produce to make delicious, hearty dinners. Fall is bulky fall sweaters that forgive your lumpier parts. Fall is Thanksgiving, the best holiday ever. So those are a couple ideas about fall. Yeah. Fall is farm stand apples. Isn't that what it is? Fall is not baseball in Chicago. That's for sure. Well, maybe next year. But so a couple thoughts on fall. Of course, this weekend, Saturday, we get an extra hour. The extra hour is nice, but it comes at a price. The time change today at 2 a.m. when we turn our clocks backward to 1 a.m. is both good and bad news for our sleep habits and health. The good news is obvious. If we adhere to our regular times of going to sleep and waking up, we gain 1 hour of sleep. Good news. And that feels good. But there's even more good news, according to Dr. Robert Oxman, sleep expert and director of the Sleep to Live Institute, which researches the science of sleep. Research has shown that the 1 hour of extra sleep has decreased the risk of heart attacks during the week following the fall time change. Interesting. The bad news? Well, the fallback time change signals the beginning of shorter days, less exposure to light, and the darkness in which our bodies produce too much melatonin, which forces us to conserve energy and feel sleepy during the day. That contributes to what is known as the dreaded seasonal affective disorder and the winter blues. Oh, not yet, please. To overcome the negative effects of darker, shorter days, Oxman recommends eating more carbohydrates and the purchase of a light therapy box that simulates daytime light. Interesting. I don't know if a tanning bed would be considered light therapy, but maybe it would be. But that extra hour is nice. But, you know, we never take advantage of it because we just stay up an extra hour because it's something we have, so we'll take advantage of it. Something we're enjoying this weekend, of course, is the SOFA exhibit down at Navy Pier, the Sculpture, Objects, and Functional Art Fair. The art fair company based in Chicago again presents two art fairs under one roof at Chicago's historic Navy Pier. All weekend, the critically acclaimed International Sculpture, Objects, and Functional Art Fair will share the pier's festival hall with the Intuit Show of Folk and Outsider Art. SOFA Chicago, now in its 18th year, enjoys the prestigious position of being the largest and longest continually running art fair in Chicago, a mainstay of the city's cultural and social calendar. To this end, SOFA Chicago will again feature special exhibits by renowned museums, universities, and arts organizations, as well as an extensive lecture series, all included in the admissions price. That's on a Navy Pier this weekend, something you don't want to miss. Should be a lot of fun. In fact, one of the sculptures there, if you recall, years ago, back in the 60s, there was a sculpture which was just the word love with the O kind of at an angle. Well, that same sculptor who created that, a gentleman by the name of Robert Indiana, has sculpted another, which will be probably a world-renowned, timeless sculpture, and it's entitled Hope. And with the O kind of cantilevered on an angle also. Hope landed on Michigan Avenue last Wednesday morning via a series of cranes and forklifts eased into place with the help of construction workers. The Hope sculpture by iconic artist Robert Indiana, best known for his numerous black-letter iterations of the word love, which also are on postage stamps, was installed in the plaza at the Hancock Center and will remain on view through the holiday season. The sculpture debuted at the 2008 Democratic National Convention in tandem with then-presidential hopeful Barack Obama's Hope campaign and will continue to tour until it ultimately lands at the Smithsonian Institute. Indiana, 83 years old, said Tuesday that his traveling days are just about over and he won't make it to Chicago to see the sculpture. Mr. Indiana is a 1953 graduate of the School of the Art Institute of Chicago, and he maintains his ties here. He last visited in 1995 in conjunction with an exhibition of his work at the Terra Museum of American Art, which is no longer there. Indiana, who lives and works on the island of Vinalhaven, Maine, said his fascination with typefaces began in high school, working on the school newspaper, and continued later at the Indianapolis Star. His first obsession, love, began circulating in 1964, tied to a Christmas card he designed for the New York's Museum of Modern Art. So does love go away now that we're focusing on hope? Well, Mr. Indiana said, hope will probably never catch up with love. Love had a head start, and its success probably will never be quite matched by hope. Love is a message which affects people more than hope. Pressed for explanation, Indiana went on, right now, I think we are fast exhausting hope. We all know about love in America. It's the number one topic, isn't it? It's very true. It's the number one topic, and may it continue to be so. But you'd be able to see that downtown at the right on Michigan Avenue, in front of the Hancock, and it's certainly interesting because it is a timeless piece of sculpture, and as love is, as you see everywhere. I wanted to mention, of course, coming up this tonight, Saturday evening at 8 o'clock at the Fox Valley Repertory, Score by Score, the best of Broadway musicals, with our cast, Daryl Nitz, Becky Menzie, Laura Freeman, Katie McCammon, Ann Burnell, Tom Michael, and myself as our host and narrator. The music of Rodgers and Hammerstein, arguably the greatest songwriting team of the Great American Songbook. Of course, some of the great musicals they wrote of Oklahoma and Carousel and South Pacific and The King and I and Flower Drum Song and Cinderella and The Sound of Music. So we'll be able to enjoy all of that great music by some of the great cabaret professionals in the Chicagoland area, not only who have performed in Chicago, across America, and some even worldwide. And certainly a group of ladies and gentlemen who whose performances have touched the hearts of all of us. And it's a terrific evening. We've been able to enjoy that show at various venues, but I think it's something you'll very much enjoy if you have the opportunity to go out to the Fox Valley Repertory in St. Charles at the Pheasant Run Resort for tickets 630-443-0438. And we have the opportunity of having Mr. Daryl Nitz, our program director, on our show a little later. And talk a little bit about it. Of course, one of the great showmen in Chicago. Well, there's a movie out that I thought was kind of interesting. I read about. It's called Anonymous, and it makes the argument. Of course, we're all used to seeing Shakespeare write all of the plays that he did, but there's a group of people that feel that Shakespeare wasn't capable because of his common upbringing to write all those plays, and they were written by Edward de Vere, the 17th Earl of Oxford, and that he was the one that that wrote the play. Some say that maybe even Ben Jonson or Christopher Marlowe contributed to some of those plays. But it's quite an interesting argument. And those that believe that the Earl of Oxford wrote the plays are called Oxfordians. And those, of course, who stand by Shakespeare, like Barbara Gaines, Chicago Shakespeare Theater, they're called Stratfordians, of course, because of the great theater, Stratford-upon-Avon in England. But should be a great. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm looking forward to seeing it. Well, we got a great show today. I'm going to let Josh get our first guest on the line. And certainly a lot of great theater going on in Chicago, whether it's Broadway in Chicago with some of the great shows that are coming up, which are remarkable because we're going to be able to see, of course, La Cage aux Folles coming up, and Donnie and Marie are going to be coming with their Christmas show. And all of the great theaters in and around Chicago, certainly booming with talent, and certainly booming with opportunities. And the one you don't want to miss is on November 18th at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center. A show entitled Miscast showcases the vocal mastery of four Chicago women. Four extremely talented co-vocalists take the stage at Metropolis Performing Arts Center for one night only on November 18th at 8 o'clock. It's every singer's dream to be on a Broadway stage. Well, vocalists Laura Freeman, Denise McGowan, Becky Menzie and Marianne Murphy-Arlen in Miscast are no different. Although their comedic musical performance is about the desire for fame, make no mistake, these performers have some of the most powerful voices you'll ever hear. Watch and laugh as these four dreamers fantasize about life under the bright lights and sing show tune classics such as If I Were a Rich Man, Buenos Aires, and much more. Miscast comes to the Metropolis Performing Arts Center November 18th. And for information, 847-577-2121. And, of course, two of the great performers in Miscast, Laura Freeman and Becky Menzie, of course, are part of Kevin Moore Presents Score by Score, the best of Broadway musicals. Very proud of the great job that they do. And certainly don't want to miss it. Always fun out at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center. Broadway in Chicago is thrilled to announce that the 5-time Tony Award-nominated musical Rock of Ages is coming to Chicago's very own Oriental Theater, 24 West Randolph, for 1 week only, November 8th through the 13th. In 1987, on the Sunset Strip, a small-town girl met a big-city dreamer. And in L.A.'s most legendary rock club, they fell in love to the greatest songs of the 80s. It's Rock of Ages, a hilarious, feel-good love story told through the hit songs of iconic rockers Journey, Styx, REO, Speedwagon, Foreigner, Pat Benatar, Whitesnake, and many more. This 5-time Tony-nominated musical with a star-studded motion picture in the works is rocking its way across the U.S. Don't miss this awesomely good time about dreaming big, playing loud, and partying on. And on the line with us right now is the proud graduate of State University of New York in Buffalo, award-winning actress having appeared in such hits as Hairspray the Musical and Legally Blonde, accomplished vocalist and dancer, one of the brightest young stars in the world of music theater, and now starring in the 80s hit musical Rock of Ages at the Oriental Theater through November 13th, Miss Shannon Mullen. Shannon, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you, and I know you're a little warmer where you are down in New Orleans, but you're going to come up to Chicago and enjoy our hospitality a little bit?
Yeah, we can't wait. We're so excited. It's actually the first day that it's cold here, so it's preparing us.
Well, now, you haven't been to Chicago before, huh?
I have not.
Well, you're going to like it. We're very warm and welcoming here. You're going to like it a lot. Well, tell us about Rock of Ages. I had the opportunity, we were talking a little earlier, I had Mig Iesa, who is one of the rock star from TV's reality show on when Rock of Ages was first here, and it was fun chatting with him. Tell the story for our listeners what Rock of Ages is all about.
Well, Rock of Ages is that classic love story of a small-town girl living in a lonely world, that's me. I moved to L.A. with hopes of becoming a star, and I instantly fall in love with a guy that I meet who works at a bar. He gets me a job at the bar as well, and we have miscommunication on our first date. He says that we're just friends, so I kind of get involved in the wrong crowd, and I go with the big rock star who tricks me into falling in love with him, and I end up going down just a really bad, lonely road, and then I find my way back at the end. Of course, there's a happy ending. But Rock of Ages is unique because it's got this very funny, uncanny story that, yes, it's predictable, but the music is so, like, close to everyone's heart. Everybody knows these songs. Everybody knows the words. So when they pop up throughout the storyline, it kind of catches people off guard. And it's really fun from an actress's perspective to hear the audience's reaction as each song pops up.
Well, that's what it is, because when you go to the theater, Shan, you kind of want to come out feeling good. And you know, all through whatever you're going through in the play, in the musical, at the end things are going to work out. And how could they not? Because you all have all this great music that's going on.
Of course, and I will give $5 to somebody if they came up to the stage door to me and said that they did not leave in the greatest mood ever, because we end with the greatest finale that will ever be done on stage, so I'll put that out there.
and everybody is always on their feet at the end of the show.
Oh, yeah. People start clapping and partying. We get a standing ovation normally at the end of Act 1 as well as Act 2. Like, people just love this music, and sometimes even when we start singing our ballads, we see people put their lighters up in the air and start waving them from side to side. It's completely for the audience. Like, you want the audience to have that feel of nostalgia as they sit there and watch this show and hear this music.
Well, this is quite a validation for you, a young entertainer, of course, in the musical theater world. To have, I mean, the plays that you've been, the musicals you've been in, as I mentioned before, Hairspray, what a great hit that was, a great musical, Legally Blonde, and now Rock of Ages. You know, you kind of hit them out of the park with all three that you've been here in, and it's quite a validation that what you're doing, people react to so enthusiastically.
Yeah, I have been the most blessed performer. Right out of the gate, getting Hairspray was such a blessing, and moving on to Legally Blonde, and then this, it's one of those things where you sit there every night, and I'm like, I can't believe I have the opportunity to do this. It's such a blessing.
Now, had you always wanted to be in the musical theater, even when you were, let's say, in high school or in college when you were studying?
Yeah, even younger than that. I remember when I was 5, I went to see The Lion King on Broadway with my parents, and I looked at my dad, and I said, that's what I want to do. And it never stopped. I started taking dance classes, and I started taking voice lessons, and I was totally that girl that would rather go to dance class than hang out with my friends on a Friday night. And it was just a dream that I've had since I was so little, and I never had a fallback. And I truly believe that if you have a fallback, you're going to fall back on it. And for me, this is it's where I come alive. It's my best friend is the stage, so standing on it every night, I just look out and I'm like, there's nowhere else I would rather be.
Well, you know, you mentioned The Lion King, and I defy anybody to go see The Lion King and sit through the opening when all the animals are coming down the aisles and not get goosebumps feeling and watching that, listening to the music.
Oh my God, I cry every time. It's just so magical. Truth. It's amazing.
Well, now, how long are you going to be in the Rock of Ages tour?
Right now, we are scheduled to be out until the end of August of next year.
Wow.
But there have definitely been rumors that we're going to extend this contract. So, I mean, they're going to have to drag me away from this show. It's that much fun. But the audience has come. And, you know, for me, too, my family just loves this music. And I love my dad to death. And he is a sports guy through and through. And he has stuck by me through every dance recital, every voice recital, and every show. And this is a show that he just was like, I want to come back over and over and over and over again. Not just because I'm in it, but because he loves the music and that era. And so it's pretty cool to be a part of something like that.
Well, being in this, and you have to rehearse every day besides performing every day, is it hard to get up that excitement for that show, or do you get that energy right from the audience because of their reaction?
We totally feed off the audience. There are definitely nights, I can't lie and say that, like, there's not a night that I'm like, I would really like to be just watching a movie tonight.
Sure, sure.
But the minute that you hear the first chord of music and you see the lights, it's like, whoa, like, this is so cool. And the audience goes nuts. And it's one of those shows, too, where you come on stage and you tell a joke and the audience laughs and you're like, yeah, you thought that was funny? Well, wait till you see this. Oh, yeah, that song sounded good? Well, wait till you hear this. So it just builds and builds and builds. So that's what makes it so much fun.
You know, as a young actress, do you look up to any vocalists now or dancers now that you say, you know, I like what they're doing or how they've matured as entertainers? That's something I'd like to aspire to?
Absolutely. I definitely have had my idols. I mean, when I was little, I used to sing Celine Dion. Like, it was my job.
Sure.
But I look at performers like Bette Midler, or I look at even Idina Menzel, and just dream. I've always wanted to be on Broadway, and it's never been about fame. It's been about being able to create this role that a little girl will look at and be like, Mom and Dad, I want to do that someday because that was me. So if I can inspire young girls to go after a dream and be successful at it, then I think that that's the most rewarding thing, and that's my way of giving back. So I look at those people and I say, I'm going to do that for a little girl someday because they did it for me.
Are you able to talk to any of the audience members after the show, come back, maybe just kind of chat with them a little bit?
Yeah, if you come back to the stage door, we always exit out that door. I'm not exactly sure where it will be in Chicago. We'll find out when we get there. But a lot of people come back and, you know, they ask for autographs or they ask to take pictures and talk about the show. And it's really cool. It's really rewarding. And half the time, honestly, I play a blonde in the show, and I'm brunette, so nobody knows who I am. And there's kind of an element that I think is really cool in that, too, that it's like, you have no idea who I am, what I just did, and I can just walk out the stage door. But if people come up and talk to me, like, I love answering their questions, and I love sharing their feedback.
And, you know, it's nice of you that you say that you're willing and eager and enthusiastic about sharing your special talents with those little girls that are going to come up and say hello to you. They're a little afraid to come up and say hello, but when they do, you share with them and give them a little time. And you remember yourself when you were just not that age, not too many years ago.
Of course. And, yeah. You know, there are still nights where I'm like, should I really be here? Like, should I really be doing this? So, of course, I empathize with that feeling of, like, how did this happen? Like, how did I get so blessed? And you just got to be grateful, you know? And you got to be grateful for those people that are out there supporting you, and I think that's so important.
Well, we're all excited about having you come to Chicago, and I hope that you can enjoy. I know you're not only going to be here for 5 or 6 days, but if you can, enjoy yourself and kind of walk around and get a little taste of the city, because it's a great place, and we're going to be very happy to have you.
Absolutely. We can't wait. We're looking forward to it.
Rock of Ages is a worldwide phenomenon with smash hit productions in Australia, London, South Korea, and still rocking on Broadway, featuring 28 classic rock tunes, including Don't Stop Believin', We Built This City, The Final Countdown, Wanted Dead or Alive, Here I Go Again, Harden My Heart, Can't Fight This Feeling, Renegade, and I Want to Know What Love Is, and a heck of a lot more. Broadway in Chicago is thrilled to announce that the 5-time Tony Award-nominated musical Rock of Ages is coming to Chicago's very own Oriental Theater, 24 West Randolph, for 1 week only, November 8th through the 13th. And certainly be a lot of fun on the line with us right now. One of the stars of Rock of Ages, Shannon Mullen. Shannon, I'm going to give a phone number if people would like to get tickets. That's 800-775-2000. Well, nice talking with you, kiddo. And listen, have a safe trip coming to Chicago. And certainly continue success in the tour of Rock of Ages.
Thank you so, so much. We look forward to seeing you guys there.
Rock on, kiddo. Thanks, Shannon. Okay, bye-bye. Shannon Mullen, one of the stars of Rock of Ages. And I said before, one of the brightest young stars in the world of musical theater. And certainly, it's a great, if you remember the 80s music, and certainly everybody does with Journey and Styx and REO Speedwagon and Foreigner and Pat Benatar and Whitesnake. It's going to be a lot of fun at the theater, November 8th through the 13th. One of those evenings in the theater where you go and you can't sit down because things are so so exciting. So you walk out and you go, oh, holy cats, I'm exhausted. But in a good way, you know, because it is a lot of fun. It's an interesting little article I picked up. A scientific survey of Chicago and 5 other cities has found 71% of gas pump handles and 68% of corner mailbox handles were highly contaminated with germs most associated with high risk of illness. Some 41% of ATM buttons and 43% of escalator rails were too. Measurements were taken by trained hygienists with repeated swabs of the items using the same methods as in the food and other industries to monitor sanitary conditions. That's something to be aware of and certainly keep an eye on. But, you know, you go to a lot of restaurants now and they have those wipes, even grocery stores and so forth. So that's something that you want to be aware of and keep them in your car because it's always a good idea to kind of swab off every once in a while. Well, you know, I know we had chatted about this about a month or so ago when the rejuvenation of the Paramount Theater came about and, of course, kicked off their Broadway theater series with My Fair Lady, which was, as I said before, one of the finest productions of My Fair Lady I've ever seen. Well, it's continuing. It's continuing at the Paramount with their next big hit, Joseph. Hot on the heels of My Fair Lady, the critically acclaimed smash hit musical, which launched the Paramount Theater's new Broadway series in September, the Aurora-based theater is ready to go do it again. Next up is an all-new production of Joseph in the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Andrew Lloyd Webber, and Tim Rice's ever-popular musical portrait of Joseph, The Favorite Son. Performances are through November 20th at the Paramount Theater, 23 East Galena Boulevard in downtown Aurora. Already more than 12,000 musical theater fans have signed up to enjoy 4 incredible musicals at the Paramount. My Fair Lady, Joseph, A Chorus Line, which plays from January 18th through February 5th, and Here, from March 14th through April 1st. To stage Webber and Rice's beloved, stirring story of Joseph and his coat of many colors, Paramount Artistic Director, our good friend Jim Cordy, has passed the directorial baton to Chicago director-choreographer Stacey Flaster. Praised by the Chicago Tribune as fearless young director making her mark in the world of Chicago musicals, Flaster has directed and choreographed for Marriott Theater, Drury Lane, Oakbrook, Theater at the Center, Chicago Shakespeare Theater, Light Opera Works, and Noble Fool Theatricals. She has also been nominated for 2 Jeff Awards for her choreography. And on the line with us right now is the businessman, entrepreneur, nationally recognized consultant and authority in the field of fine arts venues, having been involved with the Arlington Heights' Metropolis Performing Arts Center, Wheaton Grand Theater, Genesee Theater, and the Highland Park Theater, one of the brightest stars in the world of performing arts theaters and entertainment venues, and the executive director of the historic Paramount Theater, now presenting the Andrew Lloyd Webber classic Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat through November 20th at the Paramount Theater, our good pal, Mr. Tim Rader. Timmy, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. And can you top My Fair Lady, Tim?
No. No, I don't think we can. All we can do is strive for that. But we're going to do our best. And, you know, it's such a unique production. It's got such heart. And the nice thing is we're not really going to have to compare Joseph to My Fair Lady because it's such a different beast. You know, it's all over the board as far as music, rock and country and pop. And it's just, it's, it's a lot of fun. So.
Well, you know, as I said before, Tim, and you and I have talked personally about this, My Fair Lady was Jimmy Cordy just knocked it out of the park. And while, and I'm sure your philosophy is why you are not going to gain perfection, you are going to strive for excellence. And I think that's what we've seen from Jim Cordy, from yourself, and with Joseph. I think it's going to be a great family time in the theater, a great musical.
Absolutely, and there are kids in the production. We have 12 aspiring actors out of a group of, I think we had close to 60 people audition. We have some young people in the cast, as young as 8, as old as 12, and they're featured at different times during the show. And there's a young boy that was at the show, one of our previews. It was just yesterday. It seems like so long ago, and we go so late. But yesterday, and he was. I heard him overheard him talking to his mother about how he asked if he could come back and see it again.
So, really?
Yeah, and he was just thrilled, loved it. And it's a visual feast. It's a beautiful, beautiful show. We've got unbelievable lighting that is new, and the scenic elements are just fantastic and complement perfectly. And huge cast, lots of people, and the music is just fantastic. Great singing, great dancing. It's a blast.
Well, how do you compare with Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice, of course, with all the great music that they've written? And again, I think it accentuates the fact, and you said it yourself, it's a great day of family entertainment. You know, too often the plays aren't out there for the ability to take our whole families to come and see. And I think that here's an example where you can take young ones and come and see it. You know, I think what should be done, though, of course, is to debrief them a little bit. Tell them what the story is about. Go into the book of Genesis and read or paraphrase what exactly happened with, of course, Joseph and his father, Jacob, and so forth, and how that genealogy came about. And then be able to go and see the amazing job that Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice do in breaking this down and converting this into music. And that is what it is, music. There's very little dialogue in it except for the narrator, and just a terrific story. In fact, why don't you just debrief us a little bit on the story of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat?
Well, see, I probably am one of those people that need to go back and learn more about the story. But no, it is the story of Joseph and his 11 brothers and how he is, they basically throw him out, and they think he's the favorite son, and the father dotes on him more than them, and so they decide to get rid of him, and they do that, and then he becomes the most powerful person in Egypt, and they come to him begging for food, and will he take them back? Will he, forgive, and that's the story, and he does, of course, and that's what's so redeeming about this production is that it's a story of betrayal and then hope, suffering, and then faith, and then ultimate redemption. And it's lighthearted, it's fun, it's a fast moving show, and it's unbelievably popular right now. People really are just banging down our door to get tickets, which is exactly what we want.
That's awesome. And of course, The Journey takes us to kind of music, French ballads and Elvis-inspired rock and roll, country and western, Charleston in the Roaring Twenties, Caribbean-style reggae and disco. We get all types of music in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Right, and we couldn't get a real camel on stage. So what we did is we've engineered and put together this bike with this camel head on it. It's really quite funny, and so there's some fun stuff in the show, and it's a small army that has put this production together. It's been an interesting experience. It's so different than My Fair Lady, and My Fair Lady was so stylized in its own way with the period, and then this is just, I don't think there could be a more different show to have as our second show buttered up next to My Fair Lady. And the nice thing is the audiences that we've had, we've had two shows, and both were standing ovations, and people were thrilled with the production. I always feel at the end of the show that I'm living inside like a 1980s arcade game. There's so many lights, and it's so, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like I'm literally sitting inside an Atari game, or something like that. It's really fun. It's really exciting.
It's like you're in the Matrix.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want a camel. Camels are too, self-conscious on the stage. They're temperamental. You don't want to have a camel on the stage.
I hear they drool and they smell.
Terrible. It's just terrible.
Much like my in-laws.
Well, hopefully you're listening right now.
That's right.
I hope that's the case. Well, you know, like you say, My Fair Lady was a great hit, as is Joseph Going to Be. You know, you got two other ones that are coming up. Of course, A Chorus Line and Hair, two iconic musicals in the American repertory, and certainly look forward to them. And a great year. And I think starting out, are you pleased with how things are happening so far, Timmy?
Absolutely. Yeah, we couldn't have hoped for a better response from the community. We're 12,000 subscribers plus. Over 21,000 people are coming to Joseph right now.
Oh.
The nice thing is we didn't know exactly how this was going to work. We didn't know if it would be supported in the way that we would need it to make sure there was a second season of Broadway shows. And we now know at this point that there will be a second season.
That's great.
We're doing great shows, and people are responding very favorably. We just couldn't be more appreciative and happy, and we're going to continue to give them those great shows. We're going to do everything in our power to do that, and we're going to continue to give them the same value, the same price. We don't want to start jacking prices up and changing the deal. We're going to keep doing what we're doing because it's working.
And they'll continue to support you, Tim.
Right. Exactly.
That's the key. Now, what's this rumor I hear that the band is back, that the great Jim Jarvis is now part of the Paramount Theater?
Well, that rumor's out of the bag, huh?
Yeah, that's what I heard. That all around Chicagoland, and I'll preface what I said. Of course, you were the executive director of the Metropolis Performing Arts Center, and of course Jim Jarvis was your director of publicity and marketing and so forth, your right hand guy, and you of course left, and now are with Paramount, and Jim took over your position over at Metropolis and continued the great success that you had and built on that, and now he's over there with you at Paramount, and I think that two greater people in the world of Chicago theater couldn't exist.
Well, I've never met anyone with his drive, his sensibilities. He and I are good friends.
Yeah.
He's going to be able to really give us a boost in an area that we desperately need it. And I couldn't, Jim is just a wonderful guy, and he's going to help us in every aspect. I mean, bring the whole organization up another level, and we're really just, I'm personally just, I couldn't be more happy that I was able to snag him over here. And he I've been wanting him to come over here ever since I've been here, and he's really wanted to work hard to make sure that things went well, and then he left Metropolis in a safe spot, and and the timing just happened to work out. He needed to move on for personal reasons there, and so that's when we started talking about him seriously coming here, and that's we're lucky to have.
I don't think, and knowing Jim as well as I do, I don't think that he would have been happy in any other situation, because he wanted to kind of get out of the entertainment field, and I know that's what he was looking in the business world, and I think that given getting together with you is a key, and I don't think there'd be many places in the world of entertainment that he would have gravitated to, but of course with you I think that's a whole different situation, because you were a mentor of his, and you certainly supported him all the way along, and now you guys are together, and geez, only greater and bigger and better things are going to happen.
Well, we are a good team, and he's a mentor of mine too. He's brought me along. I remember how we first met, and that was when he came to consult for me at the Metropolis, and he said, "Tim, you've got two problems, and one of them's you." And that's when I knew I really liked the guy, is that he was real honest to a fault, and he was able to tell me how I could do my job better, and I really appreciated that. And it took a moment or two to adjust, but he was absolutely right, and we were able to work together, and I think we complement each other well, and make a good solid team and that's the nice thing, is there's so much opportunity here.
We
just need to get everyone pulling in the right direction, and everyone is right now, and it's so nice to see. And so sky's the limit here. We've got fantastic things we're going to be doing in the coming years. Our subscription is going to explode. We're going to have, we keep doing shows like we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a nice base of supporters that come to our Broadway season. They're going to see our classic movie Mondays. come to our movie Mondays that are only 80 cents for our 80th anniversary, and and then they're going to see, oh, we got Huey Lewis coming next Friday. Oh, we got Cyndi Lauper coming, or we got Bill Engvall, and you know, just activity breeds more activity, and that's what we need. We need to keep building on the momentum we have. We've sold almost 100,000 tickets this season, and that's almost twice as many as we sold last year.
Wow.
We're just a couple months into the season, and so we've got a lot of momentum. It's a really, really positive. Our biggest season ever was only 85,000 tickets, and we're well over that already. And so we're doing something right, and we just want to keep building on that. We got a lot of positive energy going, and just want to keep it moving.
Well, with the great product that you have, and certainly the great venue, too, and it's such a beautiful, iconic theater. It's such a just a gem, of course, on the river there. It's just a beautiful place to come to. It's a destination spot. People are going to want to take that little trip out there, and it's going to be well worthwhile, because when they get there, you know, you're seeing Broadway quality entertainment. And
for about $20 a ticket.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. And some place to park, too. It's even better. Well, of course, Joseph is going to be a great hit, and coming up, of course, January 18th through February 5th is a Chorus Line, and after that is Hair, March 14th through April 1st. And the band is back, Jimmy Jarvis and Tim Rader, and I think that's going to be a terrific. Things are going to be, as I said before, even bigger and better.
Let's hope. It seems to be. So far, so good. He's gotten 3.5 days now under his belt, and he hasn't messed anything up.
We'll give him a little time. I'm sorry you can't join us for our Kevin Moore Presents out at Fox Valley. We're doing Rodgers and Hammerstein, but you know that open invitation is always there. We'll be somewhere else doing it.
Maybe I'll get Jim to come out there, because I've got a fundraiser I've got to go to that night. But I would love to. I'd love to catch the show, because I hear you're doing fantastic stuff.
Well, it's great, and I'll tell you what, I attribute that to, of course, Jimmy Jarvis, because we've done three shows. So we've done Andrew Lloyd Webber, we've done Irving Berlin, and we've done Rodgers and Hammerstein out at Metropolis, and very well received. And again, as Jim does, supports what he thinks is quality entertainment, then that will continue at the Paramount.
Absolutely.
Celebrating its 80th season in 2011-2012, the Paramount is the Center for Performing Arts, Entertainment, and Arts Education in Aurora, the second largest city in Illinois. Named one of the Chicago's top 10 attended theaters by the League of Chicago Theaters, the 1,800-seat Paramount Theater, located in the heart of downtown Aurora at 23 East Galena Boulevard, attracts an annual audience of more than 150,000 and is nationally renowned for the quality and caliber of its presentations, superb acoustics, and historic beauty. Hot on the heels of My Fair Lady, the next new hit, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice's ever-popular musical Portrait of Joseph, The Favorite Son. Performances are through November 20th at the Paramount Theater, 23 East Galena Boulevard in downtown Aurora. On the line with us right now is our good pal, the executive director of the Paramount Theater, Timmy Rader. Timmy, maybe a phone number or website, if you would?
Absolutely. Our website is ParamountAurora.com, and our box office number is 630-896-6666.
Always a pleasure, my pal. Continued success, and anything we can do to get the word out, you know we will.
Well, I just love it. Thank you very much, Kevin.
And tell Jarvis we said hello.
Oh, I definitely will.
Thanks, bud.
Thanks.
Timmy Rader, the executive director of the Paramount Theater. He's just doing terrific things. He's been a good friend along for a long time, and started out with My Fair Lady, and of course going to Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and then A Chorus Line, and after that, Hair in Aurora. That should be interesting, huh? And we certainly know it'll be a great hit, and everything he does is enthusiastic and energetic, and the Paramount's a great place to see great Broadway theater. An intimate look into the life and music of America's songwriting duo, Fox Valley Repertory presents Score by Score, the songs of Rodgers and Hammerstein, November 5th, this Saturday. Fox Valley Repertory presents an intimate evening full of Rodgers and Hammerstein's greatest musical hits sung by Chicago's top cabaret artists with Kevin Moore Presents Score by Score, the songs of Rodgers and Hammerstein. A one-night-only performance will take place at the Pheasant Run Resort main stage tonight at 8 o'clock. For information, 630-584-6342. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning stage personality, master showman, impressionist, nationally recognized vocalist, director, producer, teacher, mentor, one of the driving forces in the cabaret scene in Chicago, and the president of the Chicago Cabaret Professionals, now presenting Score by Score, the best of Broadway musicals, the music of Rodgers and Hammerstein at the Fox Valley Repertory at Pheasant Run Resort in St. Charles, our good pal, Mr. Daryl Nitz. Daryl, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
How are you?
Excited about tonight.
Yeah, very excited. I have to say, every time that we do this show, I think it just keeps getting better and better.
You know, as I was reviewing, of course, and I know you're doing that, as are all our casts, and I don't want to forget to mention, of course, yourself as our program director, Becky Menzi as our music director, Ann Burnell, Laura Freeman, KT McCammon, Tom Michael. As I'm doing, of course, my narration and reviewing things, it's you start to get the adrenaline going. You know, you start to get excited, and you start to say, you know what, tonight we're going to be on stage, we're going to be hitting it, and we're going to try to bring a little entertainment to some people out in the St. Charles area.
Absolutely. You know, I grew up, know this area very well. I grew up in Elgin and spent a lot of time down in St. Charles, and I know that area very well, and I'm looking forward to coming back to, for me, it's like home turf. You know, we used to go into St. Charles and go to Colonial Ice Cream or go to the Arcata movie theater that and Salerno on the Fox. So St. Charles is a great place that I spent a number of incidents in my youth growing up doing things in St. Charles.
Was the Fox River there then?
Yeah. Yes. You know what they got down there? I don't know if I should tell people. There's a place. Have you ever been to the restaurant called The Hideaway?
Oh, sure.
That's where I went, actually, for one of my birthdays. But St. Charles is a great town, and I'm looking forward to going back there and performing. I actually have never performed. I've performed in Elgin, but I've never gotten to do a show in St. Charles, so I'm looking forward to that as well. But the music of Rodgers and Hammerstein, this being the first of four shows that we've collaborated on of Broadway composers, I think by far the most recognizable. And when you have a pair of gentlemen who start with Oklahoma and end their career with Sound of Music, and you've got everything else in between, it just makes for a great night of music and songs that I think most people, part of what they remember growing up.
You know, Oklahoma, as you say, was their first hit back in 1943, and then they followed, of course, with Carousel and South Pacific and The King and I, Cinderella, Sound of Music, Flower Drum Song. Quite remarkable that two people, of course, composer Richard Rodgers and lyricist Oscar Hammerstein, as talented as they were, one after another is just hit it out of the park.
Yeah, they really did. And I remember when I was growing up, WGN used to have like Rodgers and Hammerstein Week, and they would show. I'd actually get to stay up late to watch these. You know, Oklahoma, Carousel, Flower Drum. You know, Flower Drum Song is kind of obscure. State Fair, also obscure. And they would show those the bigger movies. You know, Cinderella always was shown like annually on TV. And you know, I grew up listening to a lot of this music, and it's really great. Great music.
As I said earlier, as I was going over the narrative, of course, you know, I'm looking at the music, and you put the music together. You put the flow of the music together, the flow of the songs that we hear more or less in chronological order. Of course, we start with Oklahoma, as you said,
right,
and we go through the other. We end up with Sound of Music. But I think what's remarkable, and I'm going to embarrass you a little bit here, is the songs you pick out and the people who are singing those songs. They all tell a story, and they tell a story up till the end when, of course, we lose Oscar Hammerstein. He passes away a few months after Sound of Music opens. But that great music, you can see the maturation, the change, and the exponential improvement of the way that Rodgers and Hammerstein write to the final musical they do, which is Sound of Music.
You are absolutely right. It's like there's growth. It's very, very similar. You know, in February, mm-hmm, we're going to do Andrew Lloyd Webber at the main stage in Rogers Park. And putting that music together as well, and starting with something like Joseph, and then ending, with the Phantom Love Never Dies, the sequel. But seeing that progression to Phantom, to Sunset Boulevard, that Andrew Lloyd Webber goes through, it's a journey that I think for audience members, what these Kevin Moore Presents Best of Broadway concerts do is it's entertaining first and foremost, but there is a little bit of history, or it's not teaching like it's a lesson because it's not dry, since it's Since it's you. But, you know, there's a little bit, you get a sense of the creative process and the creative story behind these artists, which you do not get when you're just maybe listening to the score of Oklahoma or listening. But when you see it in sequence or hear it in sequence, you definitely get an appreciation for their artistry.
And I think that has been our intent since you and I sat down and said, how are we going to put something like this together? It's to stimulate and engage an audience creativity and stimulate and engage an audience imagination and stimulate and engage an audience intellect. And I think we do it in a very entertaining way. People want to know the story behind. Well, why did they write Oklahoma, or why did they write Carousel, or what was precipitated them getting together and doing The King and I, and who was involved in The King and I? And to a person, and you know yourself, Daryl, when you are sitting in the audience or watching the audience and on stage, the man or the woman or the two people that are together or the group kind of lean over to each other when a song comes out and go, I remember that song because we were doing this at that time, or we were out on a date, or this is something significant in our lives. And I think that's what it does. It touches the hearts and the souls of the people that are enjoying this entertainment.
Yeah. You know, Rodgers and Hammerstein is also, when you go through there, you have in Oklahoma the relationship of the farmers and the cowboys, but then there's also Judd, who's like a social outcast living in this lonely house. And then you have Carousel, again, the relationship of more affluent and somebody who's working, you know, as a carousel, as a barker. And then you get into race relations with Flower Drum Song. Even Cinderella is that same relationship of the rich versus, you know, the poor. And then you get to something like Sound of Music, where, you know, a woman who starts off as a nun ends up falling in love with a man and wanting to care for his children sort of in the middle of World War II. And, of course, they left out South Pacific, which, you know, they won the Pulitzer Prize for South Pacific and how they took that on from James Michener's novel. I mean, really forward-thinking, you know.
Quite remarkable, not only winning the South, James Michener winning the Pulitzer Prize for writing, but also the musical winning the Pulitzer Prize for drama. And as you say, Rodgers and Hammerstein wrote not only for the entertainment of their audience, but for their intellectual stimulation also. They talked about political unrest and sexism and racial bias and so forth, something that wasn't talked about at that time, yet they took these various topics, put them to music, and all of a sudden people listen a little closer.
Right.
You know? And of course, as you said, coming up in February, February 12th, a great way to celebrate Valentine's Day, Score by Score, the music of the night, the music of Andrew Lloyd Webber at the main stage, 1330 West Morse in Chicago.
And even more so, you know, a lot of Rodgers and Hammerstein songs, you can pull them out of the stories and they will still take on its own meaning. You know, like, for example, You'll Never Walk Alone. You know, it's very powerful in Carousel and the way it's placed. Or Climb Every Mountain in Sound of Music. Very, very powerful where it's placed. Edelweiss, same thing. You can take those shows, though, songs out of their shows, and they have almost a different context because of that personal connection that you were talking about. You know, your favorite things. In the show, packs some kind of a punch very different than the personal punch. Andrew Lloyd Webber, those songs come from great stories and great story shows, but often they don't stand alone as much because they are so interconnected to the plot and plot-specific that As If We Never Said Goodbye or something from Joseph or Evita, anything from Evita, they don't stand alone so much because of the stories behind them, but both Rodgers and Hammerstein and Lloyd Webber have that story behind them that they're trying to present musically.
And then, of course, your newest creation coming up in our show at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center in April, the music of George Gershwin.
Yeah, that George Gershwin is very interesting that he died so young. You know, I look at all of these, they're like a puzzle for me is what I try to do. I try to look at the career chronologically, and then tried to spend many hours listening to different recordings, trying to pull out the ones that have the lyrics that I think are just fitting for complementing the song right before it or right after, as much as I possibly can. And Gershwin had such a short career, but the output of his, you know, I think there's like something like, there might be 30 plus songs in that Gershwin show. There's some medleys and things, but his output was amazing for someone who did not, you know, live to a ripe old age and so forth. And looking forward to that show as well.
Well, we're going to have to get you back on the show to chat a little bit about that and give us your creative process in that, because that's always a lot of fun. Fox Valley Repertory presents an intimate evening full of Rodgers and Hammerstein's greatest musical hits, sung by Chicago's top cabaret artists, with Kevin Moore Presents Score by Score, the songs of Rodgers and Hammerstein. Join Ann Burnell, Laura Freeman, Katie McCammon, Becky Menzie, Tom Michael, and our program director, Mr. Daryl Nitz. Tonight, a one-night-only performance will take place at the Pheasant Run Resort main stage, tonight, November 5th at 8 o'clock. For information, 630-584-6342. On the line with us right now is the great Mr. Daryl. It's always a pleasure, my pal.
Thank you so much.
I will look forward to, I know you're going to be napping a little bit, but I will look forward to seeing you later, and yeah, we'll be doing our thing.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you, my pal. Take care. Daryl Nitz, one of the greats, and certainly part of Chicago Cabaret Professionals, and an integral part of the success of the cabaret scene in Chicago. And, of course, tonight we're going to be out at Fox Valley Repertory, Pheasant Run Resort in St. Charles. Score by Score, the best of Broadway musicals, the music of Rodgers and Hammerstein. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. Especially, I thank, again, Daryl Nitz, who will be out at St. Charles's Pheasant Run Resort, the Fox Valley Repertory. Score by Score, the best of Broadway musicals. For information, 630-443-0438. Shannon Mullen, Rock of Ages, the Oriental Theater through November 13th. For information, 800-775-2000. And our good pal Tim Rader continuing his success out at the Paramount Theater with the Andrew Lloyd Webber classic Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat out at the Paramount Theater in Aurora. 630-896-6666. And, of course, you have to congratulate our good pal Jim Jarvis for being part and continuing the great success out at Paramount. Finally, a famous writer once said, one ought every day at least to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week, and as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. Have a great day.
And if we know we're always changing, why should it be the same? And tell me how, year after year, you're sure your heart will fall apart. It's time you hear her name. I know the way now or never. The more I love, the more that I'm afraid. But in your eyes I may not see forever. Forever. Be the best of friends. If we can try with every day to